Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we do invite you to visit us by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Shariar Wahed. He is the Co-Chief Executive Officer and Chief Technical Officer of Agile, formerly Agile Interoperable Solutions, a leading interoperable communication solutions provider. Mr. Wahed has more than 25 years of experience in technology, finance, project management, and telecommunications. And Mr. Wahed, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much for having me on.
And you're more than welcome and a pleasure to have you out with us here today, and thanks for your time. So for starters today, tell us, what are the general communications challenges these first responders are facing right now, and what does your technology do to solve their issues?
Sure. So the basic concept in communications in general is effective communications. You have to make sure that whatever it is you're sending, the other person is receiving. First responders are in a unique niche in that area, in that their communications are critical. Everything that is communicated has to make it to the other side, because every bit of it is important. The other thing that's critical to remember is that they're in a circumstance usually where their entire focus is on the task that they have at hand. And the communications should be an automatic and an easy for them, so they can focus on the emergency that's in front of them. So we try to remember that. We've been servicing this industry for about 10 years now, and we've learned early on that one of the most important things to do is to make it easy and make it bulletproof. And that's the support that you need to provide first responders so that they can do their job.
And that is certainly of utmost importance, no doubt about that. Now, can you provide a few generic examples and then a couple of real world ones as well? That would be a big help to understand it all.
Sure. In a general way, in terms of communications, you've got kind of your three basic ways of communicating. Voice communication, so you can talk to somebody. Data, so you're sending information like you would over the internet. And then your basic messaging, text messaging, image messaging, all those things that you find on your phone. Those functions are the same functions that we're providing through our equipment. Our equipment is a little more sophisticated and embedded, but a kind of a general use case is going to be that one piece of our equipment is going to be with a first responder unit, and it is connected to their electronic gear that they have with them, and the other side of it is going to be at dispatch or at central office or wherever it is that they coordinate through, and we're going to be using our equipment so that they can send whatever data that their equipment that they have with them is going to be processing to the other side. And in a real simple way, it's that if you're a paramedic unit and you're out there and you have a patient, you hook them up, you are now having all their vital signs, you can transmit all that information across this data link at the same time as talking to them, and the paramedic might be on his radio. The application that makes it difficult might be that he's in kind of a remote area and he's out of radio coverage, or he doesn't even know. And so what we're able to do is to mask all of those technical issues in the background, and our equipment is going to figure out a way for him to get that voice communication through from his radio, and it might be going over cellular, over LTE. It might be as challenging as having to go over a satellite if he's very remote and he's got a sat unit on the roof of his truck, and the data follows through, and then the hospital or the dispatch center on the other side is able to see everything that he can see, and he really didn't need to worry about how do I get a hold of these guys and how do I send the information to them? I just got to focus on my patient. So that's kind of a generic way of looking at it. I'll tell you, in a real world sense, you know, we really got into this because we had been in the business of building cellular solutions for business continuity going back 10 years. But we live in South Florida, and we get hurricanes. And we had a really bad hurricane a while ago, and it shut everything down. Everything was not functioning. The power was out. The phones were out. The cell towers were out. If you needed to get the police or any sort of emergency responder, you had to walk out to a main street. And the only way that the first responders were able to identify you was that the police cars were driving around on the main streets until somebody flagged them down. That's a really crude way to deal with an emergency. And we thought, you know what, there's a way that we can help by building our equipment and modifying it for you so that these emergencies have a mechanism, at least for communications. And we take communications for granted, but when you're in the aftermath of a hurricane, you are not taking anything for granted. And so we learned early on that that's the solution that we can address with our equipment. We also use our equipment in kind of another application for high-density communications. So if you're in an area like a football stadium and you got 50 to 100,000 people there, you know how hard it could be for somebody to use a cell phone. You have to have a way to get through all the clutter. And so we actually have a customer who is always in these stadiums with 100,000 people, and their communications has to get through. So we've built a solution that basically reaches past all the local cell towers because we've got more power and the software on board is smart enough to figure out where the communication stream is. That is going to provide them with a communications link that is past all the regular cell towers that everybody else is on, and it still gets them comms. And again, they didn't even have to notice what happened in the background. So a couple of applications of kind of how we've been putting our equipment to use in the last little while.
Thanks for sharing those examples. That is fantastic, and it's awesome what you're doing in this space as well. How do you forecast the flow of your industry in communications and security, and what has your company done or is doing to stay ahead of the game?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing we do, and we're not kind of a mass product company. We don't just put our stuff in a box and ship it out the door. We're a solution builder. We listen to our customers, identify what they need, and give them the solution that works for them. And in doing so, we start to get an understanding. And we have picked certain vertical markets where we feel that we have a good match to the issues that need to be addressed, and we've built solutions to that. But in listening to our customers, getting an understanding of what the problem is and what solutions are effective, we are also starting to get an understanding of where their needs are going to be going. Because while they do their own job, they don't know the communications part of it as well as we do. So we can start looking forward in where new tools and communications could be useful for them. And so we've started building new devices that aren't just voice, data, and SMS communications. We are now building what is effectively a full-fledged processing unit that goes out in the field. It has multiple processors on it. One of them actually runs the equipment. The other one we have so that we can put analytical software on it. We can put data on it so that things such as video, which is becoming very popular, you need, in a lot of cases, encoders and that software that is embedded somewhere. So you could have two or three or four pieces, or you could have one piece. So we've got our communications equipment, which does cellular, which will do Wi-Fi. It has a full function router with a firewall, and it does VPN and encryption. And now we have multiple processors, so we can also, like a laptop or computer, we can actually put an application on it, and you can store data on it. And for example, if you're taking video in and you want to do something like facial recognition, we can do a level of that. We don't make the facial recognition software, but we have partners who do that. And then you can stream back just the filtered results so that, one, your processing is faster, and two, you're sending less data back, but you're being more effective. So that's what we try to do, is we want to keep up with our customers and the technology and find out where that technology fits a need and where that technology could fit a need that somebody might need next year.
Especially in technology, it's so important to stay ahead of the curve, and you're doing just that. Another fine example today, we're joined by Shariar Wahed. He is the Co-Chief Executive Officer and Chief Technical Officer of Agile, formerly Agile Interoperable Solutions, a leading interoperable communication solutions provider here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. So, Mr. Wahed, what makes your company different and unique to your competitors, and how is Agile planning to disrupt the industry of communications and security, in your best opinion?
Well, as I just mentioned, one of the ways that we're a little unique is we don't want to be everything to everybody. We've picked certain areas where we think that our expertise is going to be a best fit for that industry, and we're sticking with it. And we're looking to continue to service that industry as it moves forward. There may be a few niches that we're not in and we choose not to be in because we don't think that it's a good fit for us. And, you know, as a company, you have to make some strategic choices. I feel that somebody who wants to be everything to everybody, everywhere, all the time, you may not be giving everybody their best fit need, because you've kind of had to compromise your product in order to fit more applications than just the ones that you initially started with. So that's certainly one thing that we do. I think Agile as a company over the years has continued to invest in technology, and we continue to build software. We design the software ourselves. We build the hardware ourselves. We design the boards that go into our boxes. We design the cases. So all the elements in our solution are under our control. They're designed to work together, and they're designed to work for whatever the purpose it is that we've made them. So I think Agile's been pretty agile in that sense, in terms of keeping up with where things are going.
Yeah, I'd say so from what you're telling me. Really good stuff here. Now, with over 25 years of experience in your industry, what is your advice for the new generation of entrepreneurs, and specifically, what advice can you give to emerging businesses to help them be successful? We'd love to hear your input per your 25 years plus of experience in your industry.
I think that you always have to start with you need a good idea, and you need to be realistic about that good idea, that it really has a place, and then you need to try it out. And when you do try it out, you got to do a lot of listening to those people you gave it to understand where you had success, where you got what you were expecting that they would get out of it, and also, most importantly, where you didn't have success. And you got to be objective about that, address those issues, make the changes, and then go back and continue listening to your customers. I think sometimes everybody says, you know, you need to listen, but at the end, a lot of people, they think they've got what is a great solution, and they don't end up listening to what the customer actually said to them because they're in love with their solution. So a little bit of realism and a little bit of listening goes a long way.
Yeah, listening is a big part of communications, and you hit right on target with that, and that's a great place to conclude today. Mr. Wahed, really appreciate your joining us here today, and I'm sure listeners want to know how they can get more information on Agile and also how they could be in touch accordingly. Where's the best place online to do so?
Sure. So our website for Agile is www.aisinterop.com. AISINTEROP.com. AISinterop.com. I think we're also on Facebook and on LinkedIn, so you can reach us in a few different ways. Our website has our phone number. If somebody really wants to get a hold of us, you can certainly give us a call. Happy to hear from you.
Sounds good and easy enough. Again, folks, it is AISinterop.com. Mr. Wallhead, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Thank you for having me on.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Sherry R. Wallhead, Co-Chief Executive Officer and Chief Technical Officer of Agile, formerly Agile Interoperable Solutions, a leading interoperable communication solution provider. And for all the details, visit once again AISinterop.com. And this is Eric Dye. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.